Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out just how real our faith should be.
Christianity is not just a concept to me. Heaven is not just something that, you know, oh, I sure hope it, you know, works that way. And if I'm a good person when I die, I'll go, no, it's far beyond that. I know that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. I know it. I opened my heart to Him. I've asked Him into my life. He came in. It's a reality.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The truth of God in Scripture does no good if it just stays on the page. It needs to work its way into our hearts. And when it works its way into our hearts, it'll work its way into our lives, and then into the lives of the people we touch. Today, Pastor Ray shows us this truth is reinforced in the Magnificat, the song of Mary, the mother of Jesus.
We're in Luke chapter 1, and you know what? I am loving the Gospel of Luke. It's all about Jesus. We're only going to be looking at a few verses. It's called the Magnificat. It is Mary's song about the Lord. And I've got, I think, some unique things to share tonight about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And really, we believe that Luke, the author of this Gospel, probably got these stories we're reading right now by sitting down and listening to Mary as she told firsthand what happened. And when I saw the angel Gabriel, and he told me to go to my, you know, cousin Elizabeth, and that she was pregnant, and her son was going to be a prophet. And when I first walked in, and the baby, John, leaped within her womb, and she was filled with the Spirit, and John was filled with the Spirit, even as a baby inside of her womb. And then I was filled with the Spirit, and then I began to just overflow in a song of worship in the Lord. Luke, here is the song I sang. Here are the words, and here's the melody. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. Thank You for each and every one who has come tonight. I pray that You would bless them, Lord, where they are sitting. No doubt there are a number of people, my brothers and sisters here tonight, that feel pulled in different directions at the same time. And there's a wearying about all of that. And Lord, sometimes we are to face the realities of things that are not pleasant or challenging, or circumstances that are beyond our control. And so we just acknowledge that's the season that we're in right now. And so we are looking and asking, and I am praying, is that You would bring Your angels around us. Let there be a glorious company of angels that would be surrounding this place of worship and the house of the Lord, the house of prayer for all nations. Thank You, Heavenly Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe and all that is in it and everything that is above it and beyond it. Thank You that You are listening to this prayer. Thank You, Father, that You desire to be glorified through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know Him. We believe in Him. We acknowledge that You sent Him, that He is the Savior of the world, and that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we give You this time in Your word and the response at the end of worshiping and magnifying the Lord. And we just ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. All right. This song of Mary's, and by the way, let me just go ahead and read it, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, called the song of Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation." Young Mary in this song, and as I mentioned here in your notes, this song is so brilliant, so beautiful, so full of theological and biblical truth, so poetic and so moving that not a few have suggested that there's no way that a teenage Mary could have ever written this. That surely others came along, and theologians and others who were more mature and older and so forth, they put the words into Mary's mouth. Now, I want to come and just say tonight, I believe that's utter nonsense. I think that Mary did say this and did sing this and did magnify the Lord. And let me tell you why. We must never forget that every young Jewish girl knew by heart, listen, my beautiful sisters, knew by heart the songs in the Old Testament of Hannah. Remember Hannah, when she couldn't have a child and she went into the temple and she wept and Eli came and said, oh, why are you here and you must be drunk and no, I want a child. And he gave the prophecy that she would have a child. And she had said, Lord, if you give me a child, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. And God heard her prayer. In fact, God waited, I believe, for her to despair of everything else and say, if you give me a child, I won't even keep him, Lord. I'll give him back to you to serve you. Sometimes God withholds what is ordinary and normal for other people because he wants to do something extraordinary in you. He withholds something normal and ordinary to bring us to the point where we finally say, Lord, if you will hear my prayer, if you will respond to my cry and bless me in any way, I give to you whatever that you will provide. And this, of course, this child became Samuel, the great, deeply spiritual prophet of the Lord, a man that was mighty in spirit and used in ancient Israel in a very powerful way. So there's the Song of Hannah. There's also the Song of Deborah. Every little Jewish girl, as she went to the synagogue and as she, even in her home, would not only read these stories, as we probably do in Sunday school and if we read through the Bible together, but they learned to put melody to them and sang the songs of both Hannah and Deborah. And so scripture was in Mary's mind, even though she was a teenager. And by the way, as you see the song of Mary, she echoes some of the things that her former sisters, Deborah and Hannah, had sung in magnifying and glorying in the Lord. Her mind was steeped in the Word. And so at the right moment, when God did a miracle in her life, an explosion of worship and praise came springing out of her, and it was the Word given back to God. You are great. You are merciful. You are holy. You are powerful. Lord, you did it, and you did it in me, and I will rejoice, and I am blessed because of what you have done. Mary's mind was filled with truth from the scriptures, which she had learned in the synagogue and at home. And as she puts, you know, different prophecies and concepts of God together, we're reminded of what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at verses 46 and 47. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Here she is magnifying the Lord, and she mentions her soul and her spirit. So let's talk just briefly about that. Your spirit makes you conscious of God. Everything that makes you conscious that there's something even in the midst of this physical world, in between the atoms that make up our own bodies and the physical universe around us, we sense intuitively, and because of the Spirit, we're made in the image and after the likeness of God, and God is after all Spirit, we sense the Spirit. We sense the presence of the Spirit of God and the Creator of the universe in the midst even of a physical universe. Your soul is your personality. Your soul gives you self-consciousness. It's the core of your being. So Mary is saying here that my soul magnifies the Lord. Mary was touched in the core of her being. Magnify means to enlarge. God became bigger to her. And when did God become bigger to her? When she personally experienced a miracle in her own life. When she received an answer to the prophecy. When she experienced that God's word came alive to her. And that is always going to be true. Being a Christian is not merely an intellectual exercise, learning more facts, more information, more knowledge, more truth, more doctrine. Yes, that's a part of it all, but it's not just so that our minds grow. There is a kind of a Christian science of the mind that goes in another direction and is detached from the core of who we really are, spirit on the inside and soul. And it's to be tangible. It's real. It's practical. It's not mind over matter. God gave us mind in a world of matter, and the spirit is part of it. He doesn't separate them. If you tried to say, okay, where's physical ray, emotional ray, spiritual ray? Well, I can try to define it, but essentially, how many rays do you see up here? One ray. But there are different aspects. There's physical ray, there's the soul and personality of ray, there's spiritual ray, but I'm really just one. Well, obviously, man is made in the image and after the likeness of God. Now, sure, there's a mystery to it all. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, but there is one God. We don't know how to wrap our minds around all of that. But back to what I'm saying here. Mary experienced, tasted for herself that the gospel is true. And Christianity is not just a concept to me. Heaven is not just something that, you know, oh, I sure hope it, you know, works that way. And if I'm a good person when I die, I'll go, no, it's far so beyond that. I know that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. I know it. I open my heart to him. I've asked him into my life. He came in. It's a reality. I have tasted of the goodness of the Lord. I have tested that if I follow to the best of my ability and understanding, you know, through the years, what God has said, the way life works, and found that in fact, just as he said, he blesses those who honor him. He directs the steps of those who listen to him. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And it's blessed in my life and my relationship with my wife and with my children and with their children. And I see it going now from generation to generation. I know that it's true. It works. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
So many listeners have shared comments on what Pastor Ray's teachings on Maranatha Radio have meant to them.
Pastor Ray introduced me to my beloved Jesus, taught me of Jesus's love and how important Israel is in biblical prophecy. His faithfulness to honor Israel shined brightly and will for all time. Pastor Ray was such an anointed servant.
Listener comments are so encouraging. If you'd like to express your thoughts and tell us how these messages have impacted your life, would you take just 60 seconds and write an email? Send it to ray@raybentley.com or post it on our homepage at raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So Mary here was experiencing something. All that she'd been trained and taught as a little girl when she went to synagogue and all the truths that there are angels, well, now she's seen one. That there is coming one day a Messiah, well, now she's conceived him. And her soul magnifies the Lord. In other words, God becomes bigger to her because she has experienced him. And so let me just address that God wants to grow in your life. And to Mary, all that she was already obviously a very special young woman, the one chosen that God said, I want of all human beings, this is the one. And as I mentioned, I can't remember if it was a week ago, several weeks ago, that Jesus, this was a new concept to me, the humanity side of Jesus, who is fully human and fully God. We got his humanity from Mary. And it struck me that one day when we are in heaven and when we look at Jesus and the face of Jesus, and then we look into the face of Mary, we're going to see a physical resemblance. We're going to look at Jesus and go, oh, wow. Can you see the way his eyes are? And there's mannerisms and things that are like, wow, have you seen Mary? Definitely, that is Mary's son. She experienced in the most personal and powerful and dynamic and beautiful way the reality of God. And now God is enlarged in her. When you have seen something that's in the Word and then it becomes a reality in your life, you magnify the Lord. God is magnified. God is glorified. God grows in a sense. I think that Mary had been thinking about from the time that the angel had made the announcement and when she visits Elizabeth. And here was an interesting quote that I read. As trying to imagine what was in the mind of young Mary, someone wrote this. Perhaps Mary thought something along these lines, a God who could do what he did in my womb, what must he be able to do in the womb of the universe? If almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing God can do that so personally in me and in my womb, what can he do in the core and the center of the whole universe, including you and me? And how glorious it is when this happens to us personally, when Christ is born in our hearts and his life flows through us, we begin to think greater thoughts about God than we ever thought possible before. And I wonder, is that what you hope to know and to taste and to see and to experience of the Lord? Because that's what God's will is for you. And not only that, there's another aspect here of magnifying the Lord. We're reading and studying about Mary. We're trying to also make a connection to you and I. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. How do you think or imagine that Mary said that? Do you think that she said it with some passion and with some emotion and with some feeling and with some excitement? Absolutely. And what Mary, she felt so deeply and saw God so big and so glorious and so amazing and so personally, it overflowed her and she had to passionately say, my spirit, my soul magnifies the Lord. God, you are good. She overflowed in that way. My soul and my spirit means that the core of her being was caught up in the worship of the Lord. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 describes why this is. And now that's in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. What touches the spirit? The promises of God's word coming alive in me personally. The promises of God's word coming alive in Mary personally ignited an emotional, passionate, intense response of magnifying the Lord. This is something that God desires for each and every one of us. And not just, you know, sometimes when we come together as a church and we're worshiping the Lord, sometimes it will be personally in your own prayer life or devotion. But I want to ask you this question to apply what we're talking about here. When was the last time that you were so touched by the Lord or his word or an answer to prayer or something where you overflowed in magnifying, that you just said, I got to praise the Lord. I got to call somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to share this with somebody. Or I got to sing a song. Or I got to get down on my knees. Or I got to jump up and sing for joy or dance. You know, 1,000 years earlier than Mary's time, David was so overcome with the goodness of the Lord that he totally forgot not only everybody that was in his presence, but himself, and danced before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. There is the story of Mary of Bethany, she was so moved by Jesus, she lost all consciousness of the people that were around and what was, you know, decorum and proper and everything else. And she took this expensive lifetime treasure, this alabaster box, and she breaks it and pours this perfume that fills this house everywhere on Jesus' feet. And wipes his feet with her hair and with her tears and worships him. And Jesus, this was an overflow of an emotional response of love. And Jesus' words in Mark chapter 14, verse 6, and his divine pleasure in experiencing that overflow of heartfelt emotion is found and reflected in these words. Jesus said, "She has done a beautiful thing to me. Leave her alone. It's okay." So, yes, we can make and sometimes we're afraid of, you don't want to just get emotional. Well, no, you don't want to just get emotional because then it's possible to become emotional where it's just you and you're just into being you and feeling what you're feeling. It's all about you. It's another thing when you as a human being, as a son or daughter of the living God, are overwhelmed with the Lord. And you kind of lose sight of yourself and the presence of the Lord, and you don't care what anybody else says or thinks. When's the last time that has happened to you? If it has been too long, then pray and say, "Lord, I miss that." May I say to you, you need that. It is not normal to live forever in a dry place. Now, emotionally, we have ups. Emotionally, we have downs. That's part of the human experience. I'm not talking about that. You can't control your emotions. You're not supposed to. And in one sense, there's no right or wrong way to feel. All I am saying is religion has a way of wanting to compartmentalize what is acceptable emotionally in worshiping God. And what I am seeing here is that the Lord is saying that when you are in connection with me in your spirit and you are, talking to me or praying with me, there is to be an honest, emotional response. That's, in fact, isn't that what a relationship is all about? If you have a relationship that never gets emotional, do you really have a relationship? Or is it a partnership, a deal kind of a thing going on? And God wants a real, living, dynamic, personal relationship. And that's why the Bible is full of describing the emotions of God. He all kinds of emotions. Jesus experiencing all kinds of and reacting to the different things that people do. So losing ourselves in worship is what God desires. If it's been a long time for you, say, "Lord, maybe that's why I am somewhat distanced from you. I open my heart to you. And I just want to be open to become real to me again so that my heart can magnify the Lord." Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley is only about halfway through this message in Luke, but we'll come back next time here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, "Let's Magnify the Lord." If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his new book called The Final Witness, an eye-opening prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full 5-book series called The Elijah Chronicles. You can too. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Luke. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.